All right, listen up, all my friends that have listened in the past and have never been a part of our world. This is your lucky day, baby. So today is Wednesday, April 24th, and we have officially launched our guest pass giveaway for our live event in May. And so the deadline to apply is Sunday at 11:59 Eastern Time. That is on April 28th. But before I tell you to go into the show notes and apply for a guest pass, first, let me tell you it is free. So if you don't have the money, can't think about spending the money to attend an event, the good news is it's free. So that excuse goes out the freaking window. But let me speak to you a little bit more about why you want to apply for the free guest pass giveaway. So number one, if you are struggling in your business right now or are thinking about opening up a business but are delayed because you are afraid you aren't going to be able to make money or you're not making enough money today, you need to attend this live event. We are going to be speaking about exactly how you can increase your income, how you can charge higher rates, how you can be what I call a category of one. What is a category of one? Well, if you're out there and you are a cash-based practice and people ask you why you're so expensive because the chiropractor down the street charges a quarter of the price, you are not in a category of one. Because a category of one means that you have no comparables. And so if you are getting compared to other healthcare providers, other chiropractors, other physical therapists in your area because you are more expensive or you want to be more expensive and you cannot do that, it is not the fact that your area is cheap and no one can afford it. It is because you don't have a marketing plan. You don't have a marketing message that is going to put you in that category of one. When someone says, why are you so expensive? Do you have a good answer for them? If you don't, you need to be at our live event because we are going to dissect and speak exactly how you can talk to your customer and make sure that they understand why, yes, you are more expensive, and yes, they should pay anyway. So if you want to understand how to be in a category of one, if you want to understand how to overcome the idea that you don't take insurance through your marketing message, you need to be at the live event because I am going to break down in detail exactly how my practice, Strive to Move, has gone from charging $60 per session in 2015 to charging $400 per session in 2024. I have receipts. Literally, I showed it at the last live event. That is not Justin being a blowhard and speaking out of turn. It is facts. It is facts. And I'm going to take you inside exactly how we understood the marketing message so that you can do the same. If the price that we're charging scares you, oh, I can never charge that much in my area. I understand. But what if I'm half wrong? Instead of $400, you can charge $200. So if you're charging $70 for a visit and you can charge $200, if you're charging $80 and you can charge $195, if you're charging $90 and you can charge $175, what about if we just stop thinking that you can't do what we do here because we're in New Jersey and everyone's rich and no one wants to use insurance? What if we just look at your specific business? Don't you think the principles and the skills need to change? Because at the end of the day, if your skills don't change, you're always going to wonder why people won't seek you out and want to go to the cheaper option. I cannot stress that enough. So if that's interesting to you, put this on pause, go into the show notes, click on the link for the guest pass sweepstakes. We are going to select someone and it is 100% free of charge to attend our live event. That is reason number one. Reason number two, we are doing something we have never done before at our live events. We are bringing in a speaker who is not a chiropractor, who is not a physical therapist. He is a world-class business author. He's been on MSNBC. He's an author of 9 books. Some of them you may have heard of. Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, All In, Profit First, and the book he will be speaking about, the lecture he will be giving, he will be on stage teaching The Pumpkin Plan, which is going to dive even deeper into how to think about 20% of your customers that produce 80% of your revenue and strategically be able to get more of those customers so that you can build the business that you love, you can treat patients exactly how you want. And finally, after dealing with all the BS that we all deal with in school and the loans and the this, you are going to build the business of your dreams. Not only that, we are going to do Q&A. You will have an opportunity to ask Mike Michalowicz, the author, your specific question. And even the cherry on top, at the end, he is going to be doing a book signing. So you are going to get one-on-one time specifically with Mike. That's reason number two. And reason number three, I want to give a case study. Two live events ago, we had Brett McIver. Shout out to Brett from Canada, Toronto, Canada. He was the recipient of the guest pass giveaway. In 3 days, he figured out how to get there. He figured out a room. He got into that audience. He ended up in our program. And then the first time I got on a call with him, we made the deal that his goal in the next 3 months would be to generate $15,000 in the month. I'm proud to say that he did that after making about $2,000 to $3,000 per month. But it gets better. He made $15,000 in 1 day. 1 day. 1 day. He went from making $2,000 to $3,000 in a month to $15,000 in 1 day. And how did it happen? Well, the first step was that he applied for this free guest pass. He arrived at our live event and his whole world changed. That is the impact that this can have on you. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go into the show notes. I want you to click the link, fill out your information, and apply for the guest pass sweepstakes. You literally have no excuse. No excuse. Don't count yourself out. I believe in you. We're doing this because there's someone out there that just needs a chance. And I want to give you that chance. So go into the show notes, click the link, fill out your details, and let's hope that you can win. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Business School for the Rehab Chiropractor. Class is officially in session. My name is Justin Rabinowitz, and I am a rehab chiropractor on a mission to teach you, a fellow rehab chiropractor, the exact tools and systems I've used to build my own successful rehab chiropractic practice so you can do the same. I hope you enjoy, and please subscribe. Sean, give us your biggest mindset shift from before you entered into ChiroBiz 101 and Mastermind until today.
I would say my biggest mindset shift is that it's important to have organizational structure and we can't do everything by ourselves. So making sure that we have the right team in place and the right people in the right seats is necessary for us to hit the goals that we're trying to achieve as a company.
Love it. And Monica?
My biggest mind shift has been organization within our process in sales and the way that we are treating our patients throughout their journey with us, being very detailed in how we approach each stage is really important to reach our success.
Love it. Excellent. So Sean, let me go back to you. You guys have had quite the transformation since entering our world. So if you wouldn't mind, share with the audience, you know, revenue before you started to where you guys are today.
Yeah, our revenue before we started with you. So we started with you in September-ish of 2022. We were averaging around $17,000 revenue a month. Now our revenue average has been around $36,000, but we've had months that have been it's been trending a lot higher than that recently.
Yeah, and people that weren't at the Mastermind event, we call you guys the Flippers, where December of 2022, you did 16,000 and December of 2023, you did 61,000. So we just flipped the numbers around, which is a beautiful thing. My post today was relevant, Sean, so I'm going to go to you since you're the numbers guy. Talk to some of the people listening to about, you know, having some profit and money in the business, peace of mind and making decisions of the business owner as someone, you know, again, when margins are really tight, there isn't a lot of money to now having more money. And I guess I'll preface by saying everyone thinks that we make more money. It's like, we're going to go buy yachts, but what we buy is actually peace of mind, I think. But what's been your experience as a business owner, now a business that makes money and made some good profits?
Yeah, 100%. It's exactly what you said. It's peace of mind. It's allowed us to, be able to invest in the things that we need to in order to continue to grow in the direction we're trying to go. So that for us, that means we were able to outfit a space. So we took on, you know, able to take on a little more overhead in terms of our rent. We needed just bigger space because we're expanding our operations. We were able to just hire a new physical therapist. He just started about 10 days ago. So we have that peace of mind knowing that, like, okay, we have money in the bank to kind of support these things. And then from a personal level too, of course, it's going to, you know, be reflected in that. It's being able to not have to worry about, like, you know, your bills at home and like all that kind of stuff, you know? So you definitely get that peace of mind.
I love that. And Monica, Sean mentioned onboarding a new staff member. I know you're, you know, very much in touch with that and doing that onboarding. And I mentioned it on the call yesterday. So you guys are physical therapists. So at this stage, it's been interesting for me to watch how, for some reason, and my chiro audience will, I don't know if they'll appreciate this, but it's the truth. For some reason, I've realized chiropractors are, they just don't want to grow a business with people. It's like hang a shingle up and do their thing. For whatever reason, PTs, I think maybe how you guys grew up in bigger clinics and settings that you just realize that like we do this with other people. And so it's obviously in your partnership first, but then you guys were also the quickest to hire and it didn't take Justin begging you to do it. That it's like, we need to do this. This is just how the business runs and operates. And so I think you guys are a great teacher for many of the chiros in the group of like, no, this is just, this guy's, well, look at them. This is how it's supposed to work. This isn't shouldn't be a fight. We need to grow this business. That being said, after I get off my soapbox, Monica, you have onboarded now for 10 days and you are very detail oriented and process oriented. Why don't you walk us through, like, this would be interesting case study and get into the details a little bit. Like, everyone wants to know, what the hell do I do with this person when they walk in? Why don't you actually walk through us? You hired a new therapist. They're on board the first week. Like, what does that actually look like for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. So after we met for the last mastermind and our VIP session, I definitely think, I thought very deeply at how I wanted to structure this. I think it was important to establish certain expectations with our new employee to make sure that all of that was taken care of first and perhaps leave that clinical toward the end of our onboarding process. So I did divide things into different sessions with him. So I can go into detail with that.
Yeah. So let me, you said the word expectations, and typically any relationship in life, whether it's your spouse or an employee or a business partner, they usually rise or fall to the level of expectations that have been set. So when you say expectations, can you maybe share a few expectations that were set and set out in the beginning that, that might be insightful for our audience?
Yeah, of course. So there was two parts to this and you helped us out with this. Is what we expect from the new employee and what are some things that they can expect from us as the employers. I think mm-hmm. it's very important to establish that. A big thing about how we have recently changed our communications within AMP is the way that we communicate, what platforms to use, how to use the platform appropriately, what type of subject lines to use. It's been a game changer. It has reduced a lot of anxiety as a business owner if there's something that is urgently needs to be addressed or if it's something that can wait this week. So that was something that I did want to make an expectation is that this is the lines of communication. It may change, but for now, this is the way that it's been working so far.
I love that. And you guys, each one of you separately have mentioned that to me as something that's been important to each one of you. And I've noticed this as well. You know, you guys both have mentioned like we were friends first. And so the problem with that as business partners, the lines get blurred. And like, are we texting about business? Are we texting about like, hey, it's your dog's birthday? Like, when do we do about that? On what platform do we do this? How do we email? And so it feels like something that's a detail and a nuance, and it is, but that's also why it's important. But I think maybe, Monica, if you want to go more into that about how do you know what, and again, it seems silly, but what platform to use and when, like how did you even go through some of those conversations?
Yeah, so in the beginning, Sean and I were always iMessage, and we just noticed that a lot of topics or things that we would say in the iMessage would get lost. And I didn't think we knew how to search for words in iMessage. It just became very like tangled. So we started to use Slack and we created different subject lines, marketing, onboarding, finance, late night thoughts, just random things. Mm-hmm. And that's how we would communicate into these subjects. The biggest game changer for us recently has been what the action item for that subject, for that message is. So please, feedback requested, view only, for your thoughts, discuss Wednesday's meeting. So we have now created a little bit more structure, which helps us work more efficiently with our time. And overall, again, like I said, it reduces the anxiety of having to answer or take care of things that don't need to be taken care of now.
Yeah, I know. I love that. And the phrase that we used to me recently by my coach was the emotional burden. And so if it's a work assignment, let's just say that, and in your situation, Sean manages the finances, right? From speaking to you, Monica, I know that emotionally, you know that Sean's taking care of it. If you didn't think that he was, or it wasn't being communicated properly, even though Sean is supposed to go and do it, emotionally, you're still doing it. And that's where a lot of business owners get burnt out, is that they're still owning the emotional side of a task or a side of the business. And part of the communication allows us to emotionally get rid of something, so to speak, and truly, truly delegate it. Because, you know, if you're having Sean do finance, but you're like, is he actually going to do it? And you're thinking about it emotionally, you're still sort of invested in that process. And so, and I think for many of people out there listening who are solo practitioners who are thinking about bringing on their first admin, again, if you can get this right from the start and create that expectation, it's a lot of BS that you don't have to worry about later on. So I guess now going forward with the new employee, with David, how have you instructed him on communication, whether it's text and Slack, and like, you know, where do you give him some points and details about that?
I'm following the same structure. We communicate Slack, that's anything related. I said to him, you're going to call me if something is really like on fire. I messaged just to develop like our friendship, right? Yeah. Our personal friendship. But when in doubt, Slack is going to be the way that we are going to communicate. We created channels that are specific with for him. Mm-hmm. So we still have my channels with Sean, and then we have group channels with the entire team.
Beautiful. I love that. So here, let's take a left turn here a little, Sean, off the cuff here. So we have Monica here who basically runs the day-to-day of this business, sales, treats patients, do all that. And the most remarkable thing about your guys' business was that you guys have grown tremendously with basically doing very little marketing. It's because Monica, so give me the secret sauce of Monica. What is it that she has, that she does, that our audience can learn from? Right? Because if I ask Monica what she does, she's like, I don't know. I just like, whatever. It's like, hold on a second. Like, that's not useful. So Sean, if you were looking at Monica, what is it? Because if I'm always opening up a business tomorrow and I need someone to operate that thing, Monica, she's my first call. And honestly, it's like people in my business, Kaylee, whoever, it's like, just, I don't know, go hang out with Monica, see what she does and just try to copy that. So why don't you talk about what is it? What is it that she has? What is her secret sauce?
Yeah, she was my first call too. So it's 100%, I would say, it comes down to her ability to build very authentic, genuine relationships with every single person that she meets. So that's been true with our referral sources. So like hammering those relationships, and then with our patients, the majority of our patient base comes from direct referrals. And it's a combination of their trust in her and their enjoyment working with her. But also like just she flat out would ask, you know, like, you know, I enjoy working with you. Can you like, do you have anyone, you know, who would benefit from what we do and getting them onto the schedule? So I think that's the biggest thing is her ability to create a lot of just genuine relationships and make people feel very good being around her.
I think, and so to me, I wrote two things down, which I'll say in a sec, but the one thing I've observed in Monica is that like competitive advantage is that like Monica, you just like love it. You like love doing the work. Like Monica would come over to treat Layla and it's like 6:30. I gotta go. I got a patient. Like, you have a what? I'm like, I'm going to sleep. She's like, no, I got a patient. Cause it's like, and not phasing you at all. And I think that from a competitive standpoint, it's like, why could you be better than other people? It's like, cause you genuinely love the work. Yes.
I agree. Yeah. I'm very like organized. So I also like to give myself mini goals throughout the week or throughout the month. And I'll be like, Sean, like, give me a number. Like, I need to know, like, what do I need to hit? Because I want to get it done. It feels good to check the box. I did that, right? Yeah. Or what do I need to do to get there next week or this month? And, you know, I have the autonomy of my schedule. I can make my schedule what it is, right? Make sure that I got my hour lunch, my hour for myself to get things done in the middle of the day if I'm working like an 8 to 8 day. Right. And maybe the next day, I'm not going to come in to probably 10 because it was a very long day and I do have to prep before. So prepping for my sessions has been game changer for me. It's something I've always done. And it just makes my day so much easier and I can focus on my patient.
Yeah. Love that. And to to give context, as we've said before, Sean, it sounds like what you were describing, Monica, is that idea of being direct and empathetic, mm-hmm. right? 100%. Directly like speaking, but also being empathetic as well. Why? I don't know what's going on in the Zoom thing. We're going to keep this in the podcast. Whatever the new Zoom settings was, words that I say, I get these balloons that come up. So I say direct and empathetic, and it's like balloons come up on my screen. So I don't know what the hell that is, but we're going to keep it. Monica's like raising her hands in the background. So yay, congrats, Monica, direct and empathetic. You got balloons. Anyhow, all right, let's go into something. So I don't think I've ever asked this question to you guys directly. So the relationship that you guys have is Monica essentially operates the clinic, and Sean, you're basically out of day-to-day care. And from an operational standpoint, are removed from the business relatively, yes, for the most part.
I've stepped back in a little bit on the marketing side.
So, yeah. Monica, let me ask you this, because anytime there's an employer or employee relationship or partner relationship, usually the thing that breaks it up is resentment. And resentment comes when one person feels like they're doing more or anything like that. So why has that not happened? Sean doesn't treat as many patients, not in person as much as you are. Why don't you like, well, Sean doesn't work that hard. Why don't you have resentment?
Yeah, you know, I never really thought about that. Sean does a lot of things that I do not enjoy doing. he's very good at a lot of things that I'm not. Mm-hmm. So, and our communication is, I think, top notch. Mm-hmm. So he's always there listening to me, or, you know, reading the Slack channel, answering my questions, or even just like, hey, listen, this is what happened today. And we need to work together. So there's never been resentment on my part, because Sean is working and doing a lot of things behind the scenes, even, you know, not in the day-to-day operations that needs to get done in order for this business to move forward and to allow us to get to where we are today, for sure.
So that's a good segue, Sean, because one of the deep-seated fears of entrepreneurs, specifically healthcare, is that if they're not going to treat a patient or do the day-to-day, there's like the woods, like, what the heck do I do? And so Monica said, you do a lot of things that are super important and useful for the business. So what does that look like for AMP that you are doing that she believes are so useful that it's going to drive the business forward, that can help maybe a clinic owner who is afraid of reducing a schedule by a day or whatever in the business?
Yeah, for sure. So the biggest thing recently has been taking over a lot of our marketing. So that is our back end with, like, you know, any email marketing that we're doing, our newsletters, social media. We've been ramping that up since the last VIP day, actually, and seeing what we can kind of get away with there. Finance, we've also made a little bit of changes recently, but I was pretty much what I was doing prior was I was playing like the bookkeeper role plus financial reporting and all of those, managing like our cash flow statements and income statements, making sure that we're on track with things. And then if not, like, how do we address, you know, things in the moment to strategize and essentially make sure that, like, that we hit all of our numbers.
Gotcha. And so is there any time for you, Sean, where internally you feel like maybe I should be treating a patient? Do you ever feel that way? Because again, one of the things that I find people get out of the clinic, this happened to me some in my CEO group, they sort of work their way out and that's always the goal. And then they get out and I think internally there's a feeling like that unstated that I'm not valuable anymore, and they find a way to get back in.
Yeah, I would say I could see that. And I think the reason I haven't experienced that is because I'm involved in a lot of other things as well. Like, we have our clinical mentorship program, and then my wife and I are involved in a startup. So my time is very, like, I know exactly what I'm doing when I just block everything, but I could totally see that being an issue if that wasn't the situation for me.
So you run a clinical mentorship program where you mentor PTs and chiros from a clinical standpoint, and you have an audience there. I think, I'd imagine you agree that over time, that'll probably be your best recruiting tool to find PTs.
Yeah, 100%. That's how we found David.
Yeah. So in my CEO group, the biggest issue everyone has is finding help. And so, like, that's a decision that you didn't make it to find PTs, but down the line, I predict that, you know, you guys can move a lot faster because, you know, we so a couple people in there, they employ, I know David used to be a travel PT, but they're like, I never thought I'd employ one, but what am I supposed to do? It's all I can find. You know, I can't find anyone full time where they want this amount of money or want that. And so the benefit of having something like that is very valuable. Now, what I'll caution people in this situation is that one, that somebody that's running a solo practice right now and seeing patients 30, 40 hours a week, my just belief is that they want to go and do this other business. But the thing that they don't have most likely is what you guys have here, is that there is someone that is running that business every day, day to day, that, you know, Monica's 100% focus is on the business. There's a reason why both businesses do well. It's because there are people focused on each one. In the mentorship space, what I find happens is it ends up people dabble. Like they treat 35 hours a week and they do like a call a week. Like they're it's not a business for them. It's a hobby. And that's where I think a lot of people get stuck, where it's, you know, I see patients 4 days a week. Friday, I get on a plane and fly to Scottsdale and teach a seminar, and I'm back in the clinic on Monday. Like that's not a, I don't, to me, that's not the business that I'm trying to build. That seems exhausting. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Sean?
I agree 100%. And that, you know, to your first question about even what was, you know, biggest takeaways, you know, since joining the mastermind. And one of them is, for me, is focusing on the thing. And like, I get pulled in a lot of directions. It's very easy to get pulled in a lot of directions, even with the mentorship program, where, you know, one of the people who helps me with it wants to start running live courses and doing all those things. And it's just like the bandwidth, like to even do that, like takes away from doing the thing that is actually good. So,
yeah. Everyone wants for the most part, people want to skip like the first three and get to the fourth step. I had a conversation with someone today who I'm friendly with, who I was like, she's like, how do I get to the point where I'm doing what you're doing? I was like, you get on Zoom and teach five people. She's like, no, I want to like travel and do seminars all over and do this. I'm like, there's so, you've got to organize it, and who's going to, are they having fish or chicken for lunch? I mean, it's like, you're getting layers to this game that you don't even understand yet, where it doesn't always need to be that crazy. Talk to me about, I'm interested, your biggest takeaway from our last VIP day, and I'll leave it open to both of you. I'm interested, we'll go to Monica first. You guys, last year, your overhead was unbelievably low. You had no staff. You guys were making tons of profit. Beautiful thing, love that. And then we 4X our rent. We hire an employee, like business changed. And the numbers for the first quarter, to me, I thought the biggest takeaway was that expectation-wise, we were setting ourselves up for failure. Because I remember, Sean, you said to me, like, we need to get back to our same profitability, like almost like that's the goal in quarter one. And I was like, hold on a second. If we can break even in quarter one with all these changes, we're doing well. And that seemed to be the biggest takeaway. So Monica, let me go to you first. I'll go to Sean second. The mindset shift of we're growing this business and maybe this quarter we might not be as profitable, and potentially we're okay with that because it's in the plan. Talk about the mindset around on that and being the growth of the business in that way.
Yeah. I mean, full transparency, one, it was hard to accept, to like think that, right? Because we saw what was happening last year and it was great. And to me, competitive, goal-oriented, I'm like, there has to be a way, right? But then two, there's other things that I need to focus on this month, onboarding an employee that is going to be so much valuable for the growth of this business that it's okay. Like we have to break even and then it's going to be okay in the next 3, 4, 5 months. Because the value that I'm taking that time to like close up my schedule, focus on empowering my employee and having him like really develop into the person that we want him to be in the clinic is so much more valuable than having to, you know, go above a certain number.
Yeah, I love that. And I wrote something down. But Sean, let me get your thoughts on it, because I thought Monica said something really valuable there.
Yeah, my thoughts are very similar. The way I was approaching it before the VIP day is I was thinking as the year as a total, right? And that's not even really fair to us because it doesn't really set us up for success for what you basically just said, right? It's like we have to break even, you know, with the new expenses, investing in an employee in the short term. And then we can, you know, the reason we're doing that is so that we can make that, you know, annual revenue goal or whatever it is, you know, a reality.
Yeah. So I think it's a nuanced conversation because at the end of the day, like I'm competitive too, Monica. I want you guys to make the same profit. The thing that you said second though, to me was the point, is that the intent. Because if we went in and said we need to make that profit in Q1, the best way all of us know how to do that is what? Monica fills her schedule. David sits in the corner. Monica takes the phone call. Like, because David, but we have a new person here, a new asset that needs to be trained. The intent needs to be there to block the schedule, to train the employee, do all of that. And so I want us to be profitable in Q1. Like, obviously, like, that would be fantastic. But the thing that there is the action taken is to understand that if we said, because if you guys came in, like, we must be profitable in Q1, we have to do it this way, I have to have a different plan to give you. Because to take 10 hours off the schedule and take our all-star off the floor, so to speak, if that's the goal, then we're going to be in trouble. Think about a basketball game. Like, LeBron James does come off the court sometimes. Why? We want him to be on there, but at some point we need to, like, rest so he's ready to go at the end. The intent is, of course, let's put him on the court every time, all the time, but that doesn't always work that way. In your business, there are times when we've got to pull off a little bit with the intent that it is going to build long-term because we need to develop an asset. And I think that specifically in the Cairo world, where the problem happens a lot is that we bring on an associate and the intent isn't there. It's just like, oh, they're going to, like, fill their schedule and they're going to, like, do this and they're going to do that. And what we always say, and it's so true because everyone just nods their head, is like, typically what happens is you bring on an associate, they were promised mentorship, and then they look up for a year and a half and they look up one day and they're surrounded by four walls in a room and their mentor is in another room treating patients. And they say, well, I guess I could just do this myself. Because there was nothing there that they were even promised. They were just sent in a treatment room to do their own thing. The intent was never there to actually do the thing that they said they were going to do. And so the idea of that conversation and the question of, like, what's the goal this quarter? We want to set that because the idea is it's going to give us actions to implement that are actually not the ones that we would take if we need to be maximum profitability. Because if we look at it, and Sean, you're the numbers guy. So it's like, if we want to be profitable, like, if we want to be profitable in AMP today in this quarter, we should go back to the old treatment room and we should do what we were doing at the end of last year. That was really profitable. Our rent was low that's not the goal now. The goal is to grow the business. I'd love to get back there, and we will, we have to, but we should just do that if that's the goal always. Now, the thing too, which is funny, but it's funny when I say it because everyone laughs, but in your prep document, we asked the question of what is your goal this quarter? You want to profit, you want revenue, you want to scale, you want to remove the owner from the clinic. It's like, there's, like, four options. It's like, which one do you want to do? And the most common answer is always all of them. It's like, no, like, that's not how this works. It's like, I want to work less hours. I want to make more money. I want to make more profit. I want to hire an employee. It's like, okay, you can't do that all today. The real problem becomes, going back to the thing we talked about before, is the expectations. Is that if we went in and said for the first quarter, like, because this is where you also save yourself from yourself. If we said we're going to hire a new employee and we're going to do all of this and we need to be just as profitable as we were before in quarter one, most likely the employee is going to feel that. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. And he's like, oh, this isn't good. Like, I don't like this. And he leaves, or you fire him because you're not ready. And the last thing I'll say about the expectation side of it is I've talked about it. I don't know if on the podcast I've talked about it, but for our audience, when we hired Kaylee full time, it's like, all right, I made an investment in someone who I thought was amazing, who actually is amazing. And I was like, all right, we're ready to grow. So January 2023, we lose 20K in the month. I'm like, oh my God. February, I'm like, all right, fine. One bad month. We'll do it again. I'm like, oh my God. We figured it out and we had an unbelievable year. Months and months and months later, like very recently, Kaylee said, when the business was going that way, why didn't you just get rid of me? And the reason I told her, I said, one of the reasons I didn't get rid of you is because the plan that I teach each one of you guys is what? Every plan, we got to give it 3 months. And I said, that was two. I had to give it another month. And so the next month, guess what happened? Figured it out. But if I would have said we could be profitable in the first month, got a problem the second month, it's like I would have made a decision that would have been very bad, very bad. So going back to the conversation, what is the intent? And I think that to me was the thing that stood out, in that conversation. It's funny, you guys are PTs, but I think more than anything, you guys represent what we believe Rehab Cairo, world-class clinical, world-class business skills. So why don't we go and dive a little into the clinical side, and I want to get both of your takes, and actually for the audience, Sean, so Monica is a PT for Layla and Ferdell, and Sean is Justin's PT. So we obviously endorse the product because we use you guys tremendously. So why don't you talk a little bit more, Sean, first about your overall clinical philosophy and maybe some of your teachings in your mentorship program. And if you want to talk about like maybe the mindset shifts you give clinicians, and then Monica, maybe you can talk about how you implement it in the practice. So Sean, let's start with you.
Yeah, for sure. So clinically, the biggest thing for me is that like context is important. So we really have to look at the person holistically and understanding like their body, their structure, how they move related to the things that they do on a day-to-day basis. Because without all those things, we can't really kind of find the levers that we could pull that are going to get a big change in how the person feels and that we can then kind of progress. And that's what we teach in the mentorship program, is essentially our clinical process at AMP and how we kind of move through that.
So let's talk about Justin's favorite topic. Justin. So you saw this as we're recording this, you saw me yesterday, just to give and we'll do like a little case study here, because now you mentioned at a higher level, but go into it a little bit. My chief complaint, as why I called you, is because both my hands are getting very cold. Like cold all the time. And I'm like, is it nerve? Is it neck? Like I'm not sure what's going on. I just know that this isn't normal and I need some help. And so talk me through, HIPAA, whatever, throw it out the window, say whatever you want, what you found in your holistic approach or what you saw from a movement standpoint. By the way, my hands feel great today. What you saw from my movement or the plan and correcting it as you saw clinically and the direction you want to go in. My chief complaint, history of neck pain, hands are cold, haven't really done much about it. Last week, hands got really cold to the point that I took like ibuprofen and I was like, all right, got to do something. So that's my clinical history. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So the biggest thing for me was using the assessment process to tell me basically what to do. So when we're looking at you, right, and how you move, like we could identify that, okay, Justin is missing some essential range of motion, like external rotation ranges of motion was the biggest thing. So you don't have a lot of joint excursion. So there's focal pressure in your case, I would say like your lower cervical spine. Mm-hmm. So if we can change that from a systemic standpoint, so increase mobility just in general in your body, we're probably going to get a favorable change. I can't say that it's going to necessarily change pain, but I can consistently use the assessment process to evaluate that we're at least going in the right direction. So that's why I kept checking your range of motion after we would do an exercise or I did some manual therapy or something along those lines. Because then with the hope, right, is like, okay, Justin is adaptable, meaning we could get some quick changes. So the prognosis is very good. And two, we can progress this over time from like a exercise and physical fitness standpoint and all that kind of stuff to get that longer lasting change.
Obviously, I know you were talking global external rotation, right? Mm-hmm. As I watched you assess me, it was like I knew 80% was like I know where he's going, 20% was like a different viewpoint, which was cool to sort of watch. You were looking at specifically shoulder external rotation, and you even started to look almost like my supination, like how my wrists and forearms were externally rotating, and then how my hips and then my feet as well, pronation, supination. Is that what you mean when you say like global external rotation?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Great question, man. So a global external rotation would be like external rotation, shoulder flexion, abduction, and then internal rotation would be the opposite. So the way like we kind of look at things, and I was pressing on your rib cage, doing all that kind of stuff, right? So there's going to be like a baseline level of joint motion that you have. And when that's not present, your body is going to self-organize, like compensate around it. Not that those are bad things. Those are just how movement works. You know, so if we can identify why that's happening, we can address it.
So I was at the gym this morning and this is what I was thinking about. I was thinking about how we always say pain is a gift, but it's kind of bullshit. It's like no one wants to be in pain. But I was thinking today of like an old fucking man, right? An old man. What is an old man? An old man is flexed at the hips. He's here. His neck is out. His shoulders are internally rotated. His rib cage is fucking rounded. His arms are internally rotated. And I was thinking to myself today, like if I never had the neck pain and the cold, what is it? What like that? That's essentially what you're telling me. Luckily, I'm 37, so I'm not there yet. But we talk about when you walk down the street and you see a guy, it's like, how does he look like this? Well, I'm starting the process. And the revelation that I've had today was really just it was just a confirmation of how valuable the work that we do is, right? And the problem, the downside of it is kind of that, like, I'm the asshole, right? Because I only called you because I had pain. But if my neck never hurt, my hands didn't get cold, listen, you and I both know when you get older, shit doesn't get better. It just confirmed to me everything that we're doing and really almost that we're still don't even give ourselves enough credit because, like I said, I'm only there because of pain. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. And to your point, like the reason I even like got down this like line of thinking and sought out like that kind of mentorship clinically for myself was because of my own injuries. And I'm like, a lot of the stuff I was doing just wasn't making sense. Like, why am I not getting better? I'm going to like the upper cervical specialist and like, here we are, still have all those symptoms. So there's something more to it, you know? And I think about like trajectory, right? Yeah. Like, what's the trajectory of the person? And those are all things that we can influence.
I love that. And so this will be interesting. Actually, Monica, from your perspective, you work in the same company as Sean and you, I see a wide variety of patients. Do you have the exact same treatment philosophy or is there nuance or deviance that, you know, you sort of have and put your own spin on it?
I would say it's similar. We went to the same school together. We've been working together in different clinics since we graduated and we've taken similar clinical mentorships as well. And I would say it's very similar, but I think what I have adapted a little bit differently is because there's a lot of different internals that we're dealing with in person that it's the way we communicate with patients, what we see and how they like to be communicated with, right? Not everyone's going to really care about global external internal rotation, right? Or use those, or understand those words. Mm-hmm. So it's adapting our language so we can communicate with the patient so they're not feeling alarmed, but yet make the changes that we want and how that affects their current situation that they're in.
Monica, I'm curious your answer to the next question. As you scale the business, one of the challenges I think a lot of us that view ourselves as being like high level clinically, I think one of the things we like, and the reason why we're in business is because we want autonomy in the clinic, right? The problem from a business standpoint is there is a little bit of a push and pull because now you're bringing on other PTs. They also want that autonomy. But if we don't sort of have a process and a system in how we do things at AMP or at Strive to Move, then it becomes, we can go off the rails. So I'm curious from your perspective, you're onboarding your first PT. How are you thinking about this is the system that we need to follow versus you have autonomy to be the doctor that you are?
That's a great question.
It's a challenging one to answer, especially in our setting. Like if you're at an in-network clinic, if you're at a regular chiro clinic, it's just like, yeah, just do whatever. It's fine. Like it probably doesn't matter. But because of the clinical side, I do think it's a question that many people struggle with. And I bet there's a lot of people that never grow their business because they don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Well, I would say what really has helped so far has been the organization of how we've onboarded our new employee and still learning from that as well. Having the employee like shadow me and see how I connect with patients, how I use my own clinical skills in that. Because I do want our PTs to have autonomy in the way they treat within our structure. So, you know, a lot of people aren't used to treating 1 hour. It's a long time for some, especially if you're used to treating 10, 15 minutes at a time and not developing those deeper connections with patients. So that in itself is step one, I would say, is being comfortable with organizing your time a little better. The first thing our PT said to me was, wow, everyone here is on time. Because they've never seen that before. So yes, I work on the hour, right? And people are here. They know that they're going to be here at 9 o'clock and then they're going to be out the door by 10. And even that, I never realized that people don't do that outside of here. Until someone from an outside perspective saw that.
Yeah, I love that. Before we wrap up, anything that I didn't ask Sean, anything I didn't ask you that I should have?
No. I think that pretty much covers a lot of good, useful information. Well, hopefully useful information.
Yeah, excellent. And so Monica, I'll come to you in a second. But Sean, if someone hasn't taken Biz 101, isn't on the fence of why they should join our community and start the process, what would you tell them if they're on the fence?
Oh yeah, I mean it's really a no-brainer. It's like even the changes that we made from that alone, like that got us started off in the right like from day one from in the right direction with like adjusting our pricing and making sure like our packages all made sense and all that kind of stuff. It's a no-brainer.
I love that. And Monica, what would you say to someone who's on the fence about potentially not signing up for Business 101 or they're not sure if they should do it?
I mean, just do it. There's no, it's, you just got to do it. I mean, Sean called me up. I remember after that mastermind that he went with you and he's like, we got to do this. And I'm like, I trust you. Let's go. Right. What's the worst thing that can happen that you don't like it? And then you gave it a try. At least you gave it a try and you see like, okay, this is where I like want to exceed. And like, you know, we grab a little bit of everyone, the connections that I made within like being in the group has been incredible, right? People DMing me or texting me, hey, like, how's it going on your week one? Like, it's great because people don't understand what you're going through unless they're going through themselves, right? Like I'm grateful to have a supportive family and supportive friends, but there's certain things that you just can't talk about. So that in itself was extremely valuable. Don't think about it. Just sign up, give yourself a chance and see what happens.
I love that. I love that. And before we wrap up, I want to take a moment to express my gratitude to both of you guys. We, just like you make a list of your clients, we make a list of ours, and we have lists of people who are like, how do we find more of them? And you guys are on that list. So you guys obviously are tremendous to work with, but more important than that, I think the action that you guys have taken and the ability to move quickly and get results, it makes us look good and it makes us feel good because we're making an impact on your business and we feel that. And so I want to, on behalf of my team, express tremendous gratitude for both of you. It's so exciting to watch you guys grow every step of the way. And you guys have been a joy and continue to be people that we want in our world. So thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you so much, Justin.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Give us where people can find, if you want to give your, I don't even know, Sean, you want to give the AMP mentorship and the clinic and whatever the hell else you guys have?
Yeah, let me look at what those are. All right. So the clinic on Instagram, this is AMP_performance_rehab_. A lot of underscores in there. And then dr.sean.astorga would be the mentorship side of things.
Excellent. And Monica, anything that you want to plug? We gave Sean a chance. What about you?
No, find us there.
Find them on the Instagram. Guys, I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Justin, thanks, man.
Before we go, don't forget, go into the show notes, click on the link for the live event guest pass free. It is a free giveaway. If you don't try, you won't win. You're literally, your life can be changed. So go into the show notes, click on the link. The deadline is Sunday, 11:59 Eastern time. There are no exceptions. I cannot wait to see you in May.